Check out the number one sports podcast in Washington, Indiana. It's The Crossover. It is Tuesday night. Here we go, Brian.
I'm not going to give the NFL MVP to Matt Ryan. I'm just not going to do it.
Just give the guy, you know, a smack on the wrist. Say, hey, man, just focus on this for six more days. Dude, don't wear the jersey.
Oh my goodness.
You need to figure out if you're going to be an NFL quarterback or if you're going to go teach JV football somewhere.
We're a local show with a national perspective.
So in Miami, the thieves were spotted wearing, they were actually wearing a Bethel Pilots home jersey.
Rejoice! Rejoice, all Red Sox fans!
You know, don't count them out yet, okay?
So, and I don't think that that's a valid argument.
You can find our show at TrueDirtBag.com or to subscribe to our podcast, email us at BrettHart77@gmail.com.
So, Eric, if anything happens, we'll just blame it on your medication.
Now, come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod host, Guilty Wilson. Nerd
Up. Welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson, along with
Eric Billingsley.
And Eric, welcome back to the living or real world or whatever it is. How you healing up there, man?
Yeah, well, it's coming slow, much slower than I would like it to, but it was pretty severe. Multiple breaks, and the doctor said that I'm as good as I can hope to be at this point, given the severity and complexity of the break. So,
right.
But you know, hey, he says I should be able to walk and maybe even run for short distances at some point in the near future. So, well, maybe not the near future, but
nice.
Not near enough for me. But
right.
Anyway.
You need that super healing fact, but I guess the adamantium will hold eventually.
Better.
So well, here on the podcast today, first of all, thanks for joining us. Make sure you support us any way you can. I swear, it's awesome. You got to buy a t-shirt. These things, you look great. You buy these t-shirts, go to the cons, people will notice you. So all you got to do is go to nerduppodcast.com to find out how to do that. Also, I'd like to thank our regular sponsors, the Eagle Theater. We'll be talking about a movie later on, Logan. And we'll talk about how the Eagle Theater gave me the atmosphere and comfort to enjoy a really cool movie. And also, let's see, what else is there to do? You can check out our website, nerduppodcast.com. Click on many of the links. You can get all sorts of stuff, and you can also support the podcast. If you like Comic-Cons, how about a Comic-Con in a box? That's right, Geek Fuel or Loot Crate, either one of those. They're both really cool. You can subscribe to those from the nerduppodcast.com site, and we get a little kickback if you do. And it's a great way to support the podcast and show that you care. And all the monies go to Eric's adamantium transplant that he's...
I had a Loot Crate subscription up until I had to let it lapse, not because of the price, but because I had no more room to display all of the cool stuff that was in me. So I had to cut it off because it was just going to get put into the drawer and not displayed like it should be.
That's a good problem to have. Not enough places to put your stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, especially, I mean, the pops and the different types of figures. I love getting those. I love seeing what they are. And actually around in our community, we've got several people that subscribe to different ones, and we all kind of have a little trading community going on. I like that. Anyway, here on the podcast today, we're bringing in a special guest. He's not a stranger to the podcast. In fact, he's a friend of the podcast, Todd Black. Todd, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good, Gil, and it's good to be back.
Yeah. Now, Todd, you may remember, he is the creator of a couple of comic book lines that are for sure fun to read. I don't want to give up my loyalty to Spider-Man, so I can't say you're my favorite, Todd, because Spider-Man's my favorite.
All right.
If you wrote a Spider-Man comic,
it'd, for me.
Okay. it'd be a different story if you wrote Spider-Man. But no, The Guardians is one of the comic series. Now, what are you up to on The Guardians? How many issues are you up to on that one?
We have 20 issues out, and we're taking a small break, but we do hope to get back to it later this year.
Okay. Man, I'm behind. I'm only like issue, last one I read, I think it was 13 or 14, so I need to catch up. Now, also,
yes, you do!
I got them with me. I mean, I've got them available. I just haven't read them. The other comic book series, Home. Man, I'm loving this, Todd. When you first told me about the creation of this world that you for this comic book that you're doing, the girl with the blue hair and how she can fix code, and you had me mesmerized. I'm like, wow, that's going to be a cool story. And it has turned out to be so. You've got issue number 4 already out. Issue number 5 is coming soon because you got the Kickstarter rolling. And what's the good news on the Kickstarter?
Well, we just, at the time of this recording, we launched the Kickstarter like 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already hit our funding goal.
Nice. Nice. Now, yeah. Because he did his funding goal, that doesn't mean you need to stop. I mean, all the extra money goes to adding extra goodies into the bag. So keep that in mind. Plus, you know, he's got some other things in store for the home idea or the world. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, congratulations.
And if anything, with us being funded, this is actually more of an incentive to pledge, because this means that you're not hoping that we get funded and that you hope to get the rewards. We're funded. We have the money. We're like $400 over at the time of this recording. So
yeah,
if you pledge, you're basically guaranteed to get whatever rewards you pledge to.
Yeah. And by the way, you've got some great rewards. I mean, one that I always take part in every time, except for, you know, we missed one. We won't go there. But every time I always take part in the Draw Yourself Into the Comics pledge. And that's the one where the Nerd Up podcast, they have appeared. The guys from the Nerd Up podcast, Eric, you have been in a comic book twice right now, and we'll be in a third. We're immortalized in comics. What do you think about that?
Well, at least I'm going to be immortalized somewhere. That's all I got to say.
I know. This immortality thing I've given up on, except for in the comic. But yeah, in fact, Isaac, another, you know, everybody knows the guy that never shows up for the podcast. Okay, I'll give him an excuse. They've got rehearsal for the Music Man tonight, so I'll let him have that tonight. He's in there three. He was in the very first issue of Home, and it's been a good, fun ride. Not only that, but reading about myself in a comic book, or seeing myself, I should say. But the thing is, the storylines have been just phenomenal. So first, Todd, give a brief description about Home. For the listeners that haven't heard about you yet and heard about this Home series, give a brief description about this.
Fair enough. Home is a fantasy comic miniseries I'm doing. It's about a young woman named Alicia who was born with natural blue hair. And this makes her an outcast in her hometown. And she lives this absolute rut of a life until one day she realizes she can see and manipulate living computer code. And this changes her life because she realizes that when she fixes the code, as I call it, things happen in the real world. Broken things get repaired. Earth can be moved. That kind of thing. So she goes around her hometown. She just fixes all the code she can find until one day she accidentally opens up a portal into a world called Altaria and gets flung into there. And now she's stuck in this land of knights and monsters, having to help them with their problems so that she can go home, if she can go home, if she wants to go.
One issue of this is that you're exploring Alicia's world. Now, you said, okay, this Kickstarter number 5 is funded. Everything's good to go. Everybody's guaranteed their rewards, and you've got some great rewards. Yeah. What are you going to be exploring in this? What's going to be the further adventures?
All I can tell you is that Alicia's story ends in Home number 5. But that doesn't necessarily mean that Home is over. And I have something, if you pay attention, that shows what could happen next.
Now that's a big tease.
You're welcome.
Oh, I guess I have to pay attention. Come on.
Well, no. I've already left clues in the books.
Okay.
There is a big clue that I don't know if anybody realizes the clue yet. And then it's going to reverb back in here. And then when you see it, you can go, oh, I remember that. And then you're probably going to be like, dang it, Todd, why'd you do that?
I can see that with your writing. All right. Well, that's interesting. Okay. Cause I was thinking you were going to be exploring there. Okay. Well, I'm even more intrigued now. So, well, let's talk about your Kickstarter. First of all, again, like you said, it's funded. People are guaranteed their rewards. Now, what are some of the rewards?
We have a lot. We have one. I like to say, I think we have a reward for just about anything you want. If you want digital comics, I have offer that. And for those who are listening and haven't read Home yet, we offer Home 1 through 5. That's this issue right now in this Kickstarter. You can get that digitally. You can get that physically. And one of my personal favorite rewards, you can get it in a trade paperback we are offering.
Yeah, I saw that this time. I'm like, yeah. Wow.
Well, I've been building up to that because, you know, this in a way is kind of like a graphic novel. It's just spread out over 5 issues. And, right. you know, I could never have offered this before because who wants a trade paperback of issues that are not done?
Right.
So with this Elysia store wrapping up, this is the perfect time. And it's actually one of my more popular rewards on home number 5. I've had at least 5 or 6 people ask for the trade paperback. And it's really cool that they're resounding with that. So.
Great.
And then, as you mentioned, I have another series, Guardians. We're offering that in the Kickstarter, too. You can get those digitally, or we have a reward where you can get all of Home, all of Guardians in print sent right to you. And then, obviously, you have the Get Drawn into the Comic, which is a limited reward. We have, like, I think 3 or 4 entries left in that. So if you want to get drawn into the comic, you better hop on the Kickstarter soon. We have another personal favorite of mine. I actually made a stuffed animal of our monster of the series, the Shreef, which you'll actually see in the Kickstarter video. And we are offering that as a reward. We have a very special art that was made by a friend of mine, Nicole Mitchell, that we are offering as a reward. We have cosplay rewards via our dear friend, Miss AZ Power Girl, Kara Nicole, and who is also making the variant cover for Home Number 5. As she has done with Home Number 1 through 4. And she's offering a print of her cosplay run as Elysia, which was awesome. And it's still awesome. But yeah, we have a bunch of rewards for anyone who, however you read comics, however you like to enjoy comics, we've got something for you. So whether you're a returning reader or someone who wants to jump into this, we have something for you.
And like you said, it's funded, so they're guaranteed they're going to get their reward.
Oh, yeah. I'm thrilled.
Yeah. So now you can actually pay the artist. Now, let me ask you this real quick here. The Shreef. Now, first of all, I'm kind of jealous because this thing looks cool, the plush that you have made of this. This isn't going to be in any other series, the Shreef. This is going to be the last Shreef, right?
Yeah, my Shreef are in Altaria. They were born and bred in Altaria. And they will not be appearing after this series.
So this is a limited edition plush that's going to be available that, hey, you know, might as well get it now. I just want to point that out. And plus, he looks pretty cool.
This was handmade. Like, this wasn't like some factory, you know, Build-A-Bear. This
really?
Was handcrafted by a pig that was called Budsies. I found out about it from a con I was at last year. This lady had made these monster plushies for this card game she was doing. And I asked about that, and I found out that all you do is you send in a picture of the monster creature or whatever, and then hand make it. Like, it takes like 3 to 4 weeks to get the right materials, the right color, the right shape, and it looks absolutely gorgeous, and to give it some individuality.
I didn't realize they were handmade, but the one that you were showing off in the video, I was like, man, that looks cool. And describe what the Shreef is.
Okay, the Shreef is my monster in the series. It's this amalgamation of like a wolf, a lynx, an orangutan, because it's got these really extended arms. And this is a small spoiler, but I can tell you anyway. in the series, spoiler for who haven't read Home yet.
Okay.
The Shreef have been this creature that's lived in Altaria for a while. But then it started to battle the knights, and who are the defenders of Altaria. And what happened was that the more they fought, the more the Shreef started to evolve. And by evolve, I mean over the span of years or months, not generations after generations after generations. So what happened was they used to walk on 4 legs. Then they could stand on 2. Then they could use their arms to fight. They can climb through walls, jump incredible distances. They're this ever-present threat that the knights have to defend from. Mm-hmm. And throughout the series, they actually evolve again, which causes some severe problems. And then at the end of Home Number 4, I show a nice big army of them heading for Altaria.
That was really cool. It was like when I saw that, it was like, that's the end of the book. All these Shreef coming ready to attack. Just multitudes. I'm like, that's no way to leave me hanging, Todd.
That is the way. It's called a cliffhanger. Gil?
Not me.
I had to get something to... Yes, you. If I can't give a cliffhanger to my biggest fans, what am I supposed to do?
Oh, yeah, I guess. You're right. And boy, what a cliffhanger. So I can't wait for number 5. Well, Todd, one of the things we're talking about before the podcast here, first of all, yours is funded, which, again, congratulations. And I really can't wait for this one. This is going to be fun. But other thing, you're kind of a part of another Kickstarter. At least you're a contributing writer. And we had Charles D. Moisant and Brian K. Morris on the podcast back in January. Their Haunted Tales from Bachelor's Grove, Now, you're one of the contributing writers on that, aren't you?
Yes, I've known Brian for a couple of years, and Charles going on one, and they were talking about this for a while, and I just straight up asked them, would you like me to contribute? And it's like, do you think you can write a horror? And I'm like, as long as it's old school horror. And he goes, yeah, that's what we want. I'm like, okay, sure. Yeah. And so I have a piece in here. I think it'd be in the first issue of this series. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty cool. For those who don't know, Bachelor's Grove is this actual cemetery that's near Chicagoland or close to that. And there has been reported hauntings in this place, like legit hauntings, you know, unexplained phenomenon that happens here.
And documented, too.
Yeah. And so Brian and Charles came up with this idea of having these horror stories, like old school, old fashioned horror happening in the cemetery, a river nearby, and one other place I can't recall at the present. And it's just these three tales of these three like entities and how they affect all these people that's around them. Mm-hmm. And it's actually, I mean, I'm not a horror guy, but this was actually appealing to me because I got to, again, write old school horror, which is like, you know, more psychological,
right?
You know, get your heart pounding in the right way, you know, no need for gore, that kind of thing. And I was actually really proud of my story, and especially after, you know, Brian, who's the editor, helped steer me in the right direction to make it even better. And yeah, it's on Kickstarter now. It's not funded yet, but you can help with that, dear listener.
Yeah. In fact, let me jump in here real quick. On our on the Nerd Up Podcast page, nerduppodcast.com, on the right-hand side, on the very top, you can see there's a link for the Tales from Bachelor's Grove Kickstarter. I jump on that, you know, click on that, get that funded, because I can't wait to get this one. Again, it's those old, eerie, creepy, those books from the EC Comics from back in the day. It's that style. And that's what, you know, when Todd says old school horror, yeah, definitely so. And it's good stuff. And, you know, if you go back and listen to the first podcast of the year, you'll go back and get a kind of summary of what they're doing with it. Yeah, it's really interesting. And it's not yet funded. They're coming up, I guess, at the end of March is the date that they're ending the Kickstarter. So jump on that. Again, Todd, yeah, you contributed a story there. So it's kind of a nice tie in here tonight.
Yeah, I love to write, Gil. And I keep trying to find more people to, you know, allow me to write for them. And so when I got this chance with Brian and Charles, it was a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've already seen some of the art for, not my story, but one of the other stories. They just unveiled some of the art, and it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
And this is just one story spread across, you know, many stories in six issues, which is the plan. And so if you're into the, you know, old school creepy horror, you know, graveyard stories, whatever,
Creepshow.
This is definitely one. Creepshow, yeah, there it is. You know, this is definitely one for you, and so I can't recommend that enough. Just get it. Haunted Tales of Bachelor Grove is on Kickstarter now.
Yep, and there'll be a link to it on the podcast page. There is one right now, and I'll put one inside within this podcast, along with a link to your Kickstarter, even though yours is funded. Hey, the more the better is always what I always say. So, okay, you've got Guardians comic line, you've got Home, you're writing a story for the Haunted Tales of Bachelor's Grove. I understand you also have a book about Sherlock Holmes or something like that. What's that about?
Yes, I do. I actually finally did something I always thought about doing, at least for the last year or so, and I wrote my own Sherlock Holmes novel. It is currently on Amazon, and it's available for Kindle and in paperback. It's called Sherlock Holmes, The Greatest Detective. It's a brand new series, my personal take on the Sherlock Holmes universe.
Mm-hmm.
And the first book is called A Swordsman in London. It's basically, this is how we meet Sherlock and Watson. They've been partners in crime or crime fighting, I should say, for a while now. And this swordsman stumbles upon their world and gives them a mystery that has pretty big implications. And it's just this wonderful introduction to my take on the universe. And I've already got like multiple books planned. So I'm just, you know, getting this started with Swordsman in London. And we just released last week on Amazon. And I'm hoping people will give it a chance because I know there's a lot of Sherlock fans out there.
So is your Sherlock Benedict Cumberbatch or Robert Downey Jr. or Basil Rathbone?
It's always Basil Rathbone, I swear. No, when I was doing the art for the cover, I was trying to go for a new unique look, and Brian Morris said to me, you know, you need to do the Basil Rathbone nose. And I was like, I kid you not. And he gave me a picture of him. Or no, I looked up a picture of him. I'm like, that is quite a nose. I won't lie.
Yep. Yep.
It's funny. With my artist, Matt Maldonado, he drew these versions of Sherlock and Watson. And Watson, he got right on like the first try.
Right.
I was
okay.
Like, perfect Watson. But Sherlock, we just couldn't get it to work. And I'm like, it's just not working. He goes, okay, let me try something. You show me this actor from a show I know. I'm like, yeah, do something like that. And then we got the final look that you'll see on the cover, and I can give you the link for that, Gil.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, this is perfect, because that's totally different. Now, as for who my guy acts like, I say he's a little bit Benedict Cumberbatch, because I do like Sherlock.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a little bit Johnny Lee Miller from Elementary.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He definitely is a little bit of Robert Downey Jr., as he does use fisticuffs.
Okay.
But he's also his own person, because it's always important that you don't just do what
right.
everyone else does. Like, for example, like I totally did a Cumberpatch in my first book where Sherlock meets the swordsman, and he like says this statement that Lucas didn't mention earlier, and it's like, wait, how'd you know that? And he goes into this long, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch style monologue. And it's beautiful, because I just like, that is your Sherlock, and I see that everywhere. Mm-hmm. But then like, he's also a little bit more of a personable Sherlock, which I know sounds like an oxymoron when you consider Sherlock,
right.
But I define it as, you know, he's bent, unlike Elementary, unlike Sherlock, the BBC show,
mm-hmm.
this version of Sherlock and Watson have been working together for like 5-6 years. So some of Watson's better qualities have rubbed off on Sherlock, much to Sherlock's chagrin. And so he'll be like a complete jerk in like a scene. And then like in a moment, he'll 180 and be very compassionate and very caring. And I'm like, that's perfect, because it's just a fun little twist on the character that I really, really like.
Yeah, nice. It sounds interesting. So I might have to check that out. You say it is on Amazon right now then, huh?
It is on Amazon right now in paperback. And if you have a Kindle, it's available for Kindle. I wanted to have as many options available.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you like it, give me a review.
Now, what's the actual full title?
It's called Sherlock Holmes, The Greatest Detective, A Swordsman in London.
Oh, Swordsman. Okay. All right. I'll be looking out for that. Maybe even put a link to that on the podcast.
I appreciate that. Yeah. And I'm already working on the second book, which I'm calling The Combustible People.
Oh, wow. Todd is out there getting stuff done. Go out and buy his stuff. Fund his Kickstarter. I got nothing but praise for you, Todd, because first of all, you're a great person. When I've met you at the cons, just fun to talk to. And then at the same time, I read your stuff and I'm like, this is some really neat writing. And I mean, it's stuff that's got me intrigued. I mean, I've been buying every one of the issues of your comics, and I've got no interest in the Guardians. You know, I'm not printed in the Guardians comic. You know, my picture does not appear like it does in Home. I didn't fund the Kickstarter for Guardians. I just like reading them because they're good stories.
And that means the world to me, Gil. It really does.
All right. Once again, Kickstarter, check out Todd Black Home. What's the easiest way to find that listing on Kickstarter?
Well, you just go to Kickstarter.com, mm-hmm. and then there you'll find like a magnifying glass where you can like look up projects. You just type in Home Number 5, and I'll be the first thing you see.
All right. And so go look for that. And again, it's funded, so you're guaranteed your rewards. And while you're at it, you know, throw some love for our guys over at the Haunted Tales of Bachelor's Grove, because Todd wrote for that, and they're friends of the podcast as well. And we want to get them funded. At the end of the month, they're going to be that's the Kickstarter will end for them. And they're getting close. They're getting there. Eventually, they'll get it because I want it. So
do I.
And then also, you know, Sherlock. Again, I'll provide a link to that. So, all right. Well, now let's stop pimping Todd out, and let's talk about something. Now, Eric, I understand. You know, you're not able to really leave the house.
Yeah.
We need to get somebody.
I still haven't
to
seen Rogue One. I was on my way to see Rogue One when I had my accident, actually.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's messed up.
Yeah. I was worried about getting a bad seat because the theater, I don't know if you know about this, Gil, but the old AMC theater across the street from the Carbondale Mall.
Right.
That no one went to anymore. They renovated it and they put in these electronic loungers that are so comfortable. The challenge is actually staying awake during a movie because it's that. But I was thinking about it. It's like, you know what? I could actually probably be comfortable in one of those and sit watch a movie like that. But there's no way I could, you know, sitting in a regular theater chair that I am now. But
right,
maybe I'll do that because I do want to see Logan. Everyone keeps talking about how good it is. Oh, I'm like, I want to see it.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're gonna talk about it here without giving any spoilers. Todd has seen it, and I saw it with Isaac a couple nights ago. Well, actually, Todd, we all went on the same night, but just to different places.
Yeah,
I will say, Eric, and this is my review here. It is the best X-Men movie to date.
Nope.
That's mine 100%. That's the way I feel. One of the reasons I want to say this is, first of all, I've always loved Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. He pulled it out. He made Wolverine come to life. Now, the other aspect of it is, this is his last appearance as Wolverine, so he says. And, I mean, there's money may talk in the future. We don't know what's going to happen there. But he says, you know, and he goes out with a bang, I think. I think he really, you know, finishes up his run as Wolverine with a great movie. So, all right, Todd,
Didn't Patrick Stewart said that Days of Future Past was going to be his last X-Men movie, but apparently not. Apparently that was just a rumor.
I guess, yeah.
He's back.
Yeah, he's definitely back in this one, and he's phenomenal. The role, his Professor Xavier in this one is just, I'd love to have been able to play that character. Let me put it that way. He loses his mind, and there's some points in there where he's rolling around in his wheelchair just reciting kids' rhymes and stuff, and it's just a beautiful scene, but it's like, man, the guy's lost it. And it's just a really cool scene. It's one of my favorites. And I would have loved to have been able to play that part. But I don't think I could have, you know, come anywhere close to Patrick Stewart's level. but he definitely came back for this one.
You can. Did it earn its R rating, and is it necessary to, do you think, to be R rated?
Okay. The R rating is because of the violence. And
violence?
And the F word, of course.
Among other words.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But, you know, there's no gratuitous sex. There's not actually, I don't recall any nudity at all. So, I mean, but I will say the violence, it's well earned. It's not gratuitous violence. It's comic book Wolverine. You know, there are pages of the Wolverine comics that I have read. I was never a huge X-Men fan anyway, but Wolverine's always been one that it's like, oh, he's kind of cool. But there's scenes in the comics where you see him ramming his claws up through someone's skull. Well, this happens several times in this movie, and he's cutting people's heads off. And I mean, realistically, there's things going on that's not unlike Walking Dead and some of the cutting heads, except these are living people that he's cutting the heads off. Walking Dead, they can do it on TV because they're zombies and they're already dead. So, but yeah, I mean, the violence and the language earned it. And the violence, I think, it was necessary for this one, I think.
Here's the way I think about it. It's that for the last, six Wolverine views, let's see, three trilogy, there's the original three movies, there was Origins, which you don't count, but we have to count it for reference. let's see, it's when Wolverine, Days of Future Past, but yeah, six or seven movies. We've only really seen one side of Logan's abilities, and by that I mean his claws. It's that he would either impale an opponent and like that, like through the chest, so you couldn't really see anything, mm-hmm. or he would do like a slashing motion to kill them, and we would just assume they were dead.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
This was the natural comic book extension of who Wolverine is. He slices through people, and he does not care.
Right. Right.
Good. That's the Wolverine movie I've been waiting for. Then.
Yeah. I mean, again, and he still does the whole like chest impaling thing. That's fine, but he also, you know, he cuts through people's limbs. He cuts their heads off. He cuts a head in half at one point. He blows someone's brains out.
Yep.
It's, you know, but again, because he's Wolverine. You know, that the violence is there. And this is like a true to form Wolverine, you know, comic, essentially, because the comics don't have such, you know, restrictions. And so this is where I've heard, you know, people say this is a Wolverine movie you've been waiting for. It is, because this is finally getting to see Wolverine as Wolverine, untethered, uncensored.
Yeah.
And just being who he is in the comics.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, it really is. And overall, Todd, what do you think of the film? I gave my review as being basically, I think it's the greatest in the X-Men series of movies. What do you think?
Okay, I got to preface it with this. My personal favorite X-Men film is Apocalypse.
Ooh, okay.
I kid you not, and you got to remember that Apocalypse aired after Batman v Superman, which I loved.
Oh.
After Civil War, yes. After Civil War, which I thought was good. And then X-Men came out, and I'm like, okay, that's like three movies in, you know, what was it, 3 months?
Oh, yeah.
And all
yeah.
that? Yeah, and I'm like, okay, how is this going to wow me? And it did. It wowed me. Now, Logan, I would definitely put it top tier.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it better than The Wolverine.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely better than, you know, like the original X-Men or maybe X2. I'd have to compare them again. Then again, X2 had Nightcrawler, and that usually trumps everything. but it's hard to beat Nightcrawler. I almost didn't know how to define how I liked it because it was such a different movie. Now, we talked about the violence and everything, and that's okay. I wrote a review myself, and I opened it saying, Logan is a very intimate film.
Yeah.
And then I was like, let me repeat that for you. Logan is a very intimate film.
I would agree 100% too.
You don't associate the character of Wolverine with the word intimate.
Right.
Usually the word you think about is snicked. And, you know, that's,
and bub.
Yeah, and bub. Or, you know, give me a beer. Or shut up, psych. Or something like that. But, you know, he intentionally didn't do an end credit scene because every other superhero does an end credit scene.
Right.
Outside of, like, you know, DC films.
Yeah, so you don't have to stick around after the credits, Eric, when you go see it, by the way.
Wow. That's the first time I've heard that in a long time.
Loved what they did. This wasn't a Wolverine film about him being the best he is at what he does. This was a Wolverine film about a man named Logan who actually went by his real name, funnily enough, at the end of his rope and at the end of his life. And you know, he's dying.
Yeah.
That wasn't really a spoiler, but he's got to take care of Professor Xavier, which is a burden. He has to, you know, keep a low profile, which is a burden. And then X23, Laura comes in and it's just like, he can't catch a break.
Right.
And yet through it all, he does show the development and it's very natural. And yet we still see the tragedy that is this character. And you know, the scene I'm talking about where that very good thing happened and there, you know, it's the dinner scene.
Oh, yeah.
And,
okay.
You know, yeah, there's a dinner scene and everything is going great. And you just, I'm like watching this and I'm like, oh, this is going to end badly. And it did. But like, that's the tragedy. And even Logan realizes that. He goes, because he says to Laura at one point, that bad things happen to me. Everyone I care about dies. And that's real life. And you believe that because he's seen it, regardless of how you feel the continuity of the movies are in regards to Logan.
Right.
He has everything that's ever happened to him on his shoulders and amplified in this film. And that makes it a very intimate affair because you want him to, you know, be happy, but it just isn't happening for him.
Right.
And that's a very bold move. And I'm really glad they did it.
Yeah, me too. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different aspects of this that makes it, like you said, a bold move. First of all, the violence. That's a bold move for a comic book movie. I mean, thanks to Deadpool, we got to see that it can make the money, so they decided to do it. But it's they show a side of Logan that you don't realize is really there in any other comic or any other movies. Now, one thing I want to point out. There's a review I saw, or actually heard, Kevin Smith, he reviewed it, but, and his closing remark was, any father will have tears in his eyes at the end of that movie. And I'm like, that's a pretty neat way to put that, because I wouldn't say gushing tears, but you're definitely going to have that lump in the throat feel at, you know, at one point, and you're like, oh. So,
it's like remorseful tears.
Yeah. So it's really nice. I mean, and there's a whole bunch of aspects. Again, it's two hours and 21 minutes. And, I mean, with that length, they'd better tell a good story. And they do. They do.
Well, they do.
And it was like, you know, like I said about Guardians of the Galaxy. I went to the Guardians of the Galaxy with my bladder full, and I had to go to the bathroom, but I could not leave. I waited till the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And that's how good a movie that was. Well, Logan was the same way. There was no point. Yeah. There's a couple times when I'm like, wow, this is long. But then right as soon as I'd think that, boom, stuff would start happening. And that's the thing. Things are happening, whether they're action, you know, people getting sliced up, or, you know, something really serious, some talks between Logan and Professor X, whatever the case is, it kept me. I couldn't get up. Luckily, I didn't fill up my bladder this time.
No, I needed to die.
You always get the small Coke. Always go with the small drink.
Yeah. Well, or you can go to the website runp.com, and they'll tell you when you can go. But I haven't looked at it for this one, but I can't think of any place where it really would have worked. Well, another thing about it, this movie, that kept me intrigued. I mean, there are a couple spots where it could have, but the scenery kept me intrigued, too. And the filming of this, it had this great feel of, I mean, I want to say almost Old West, you know?
It was.
And it's like a really interesting feel to it that, I mean, the view, the scenery was just beautifully done. Very Old West, very, I don't know. I want to say, they had the movie Shane running in parts of it. That I kind of, before they brought up Shane in the movie, I was thinking about that. It was like, oh, this guy comes in and helps out and moves about on his way, and then, you know, it's like, that's the way Logan is, or something like, you know, I forget what my train of thought exactly was, but then they showed the clip from Shane, and I'm like, oh yeah, exactly. There's the Old West to it.
That was a very interesting scene when Professor X was watching that with Laura, and he talked about how he'd seen this when he was a boy, and I'm like, dang, you're old.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. Okay, first of all, I'm trying not to talk about spoilers, and that's one thing. I think of something, I'm like, oh, I don't want Eric to hear that one. I want him to see it. So, Eric, you're holding me back. but I will tell you this, Eric, you're going to love it. It's a movie worth seeing.
Hold on. Don't say that.
Uh-huh.
I'm serious, because the one thing I'm very adamant about this, especially after the year we've had in movies, like this, like count today, go back 365, like this year, mm-hmm. I've heard so many things about, you know, reviews and, you know, opinions about like what people should like and what people will like. I mean, again, I love Apocalypse,
right?
And yet you gagged when I said that. So if I had said to you, if I had watched Apocalypse before you, and I said, oh, dude, you're totally gonna love it, you would have came back to me and go, dude, you're full of it. So what I would say is, Eric, if you're gonna go see it, which you said you are, just go with it with an open mind and see what you think, because I am not one of the people who think it's like the best movie in the X-Men series. I definitely think it's one of the best Wolverine films ever made, if that's even a thing to talk about.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wouldn't say it's a masterpiece, but I would say it's a darn good film.
Yeah.
But that's just my opinion. So go forth, make your own opinion, and then you can discuss it with Gil.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay. Well, either way, I say you're going to love it anyway. So, all right. Well, you know, again, they did a great job. It's a great way to begin the year of comic book movies. I mean, starting in a brand new year, it's a great way to start it out. Last year, I think we started out with Deadpool.
Yeah, Deadpool was first, then Batman v Superman, then Civil War in May, then Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Then
Doctor Strange.
No, Suicide Squad.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. The Academy Award-winning Suicide Squad.
How hard is that to say?
Not hard at all. Not hard at all.
Oh,
I love the fan base of both these sides so much, but sometimes they get so snippy, because as soon as that happened, after like the initial shock wore off, everyone started debating whether that's a real award or not. I'm like, you look at all these movies. So I'm like, wait a minute. Star Trek, I won. So the boys countered back with that classic Avengers scene. You know, I have an army. We have a Hulk. We have an Oscar.
Yeah.
You
know, it was great. True.
And tell me this. Is it worth the rental to see the extended version of Suicide Squad? Is there anything added to it that makes it worth
I haven't seen the extended version, but I enjoyed the regular version. Now, was it flawed? Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, right.
But it was still, I mean, there's a difference between, okay, find them as good Marvel and DC films.
Right.
But when I think of like great Marvel and DC films, I think of Man of Steel. I think of Batman v Superman. I don't care what you think, Gil. the Marvel side, I think of Guardians of the Galaxy. I think of, you know, Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. You know, those are great films. Yeah. But then Suicide Squad and Doctor Strange are not horrible at all. But they're, to me, they're just good. And that's okay.
I'll grant you that.
Good is fun.
Actually, though, I will say that, in my opinion, Suicide Squad, I really enjoyed. I really enjoyed Suicide Squad because they tried to make it more comic booky. You know, rather than a tearjerker. Or
my biggest complaint with Suicide Squad was twofold. Number one, though they did a great job, you know, breaking down the team, which I love breakdowns. Mm-hmm. Some of the characters didn't get a lot of spotlight. Killer Croc got kind of shafted here. Boomerang got shafted a little bit. Katana a little bit, because they really want to focus on, you know, Deadshot and Harley and El Diablo.
Right.
Which was fine. The other problem I had was Enchantress. Yeah. Because, I mean, she went from this, you know, I like the description of the ring girl, you know, to these hips don't lie, you know. And it was just like, why would you make that the villain? And I mean, I know, yeah, it's the first movie, but I'm just like, that was really questionable to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like, it's a counter with Doctor Strange. I love Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange. He's perfect.
Yeah.
I really did like Caecilius. You know, Mads Mikkelsen did a really good job. My problem was that it didn't feel like magic. It felt like Inception.
That's what I keep hearing. Well, okay, but before we go to
if you read a Doctor Strange comic, he's like shouting out the spells.
Right.
Or read the comic, he has like the text of the spell, like, you know, Book of Ashanti, page 123 or something like that.
Right.
And yet he's like, no, I can inception your mind and your world. And I'm like, that's not magic.
Well, before we go too much further, I got to tell you, have you guys seen Lego Batman? Eric, I guess not, because, again, you don't get out of the house much anymore. But Todd, did you see Lego Batman yet?
I have not, but I have heard good things about it.
Yeah, it's a fun movie. Too. It's the best Batman film ever made. What I wanted to say was there's a scene in there where they take a dig at Suicide Squad, and it's Killer Croc, and he's attacking. I can't remember what he's attacking, but the Killer Croc Lego figure is attacking something. He goes, "Hey, I get to do something." And I thought that was the funniest dig at Suicide Squad. Well, let's see here. Well, you know what? I tell you what, it's time to end this podcast. We got a roll, and man, I got so much more stuff I want to talk about, but you know, I actually have a time limit tonight. Anyway, so once again, Todd, Kickstarter, home number 5, look for that, get it funded. People listening, Todd is one of the contributing writers to the Haunted Tales from Bachelor Grove.
Every time.
I know. Even when I was talking to those guys on the podcast, I could never get the title right. I said, eventually, I'm just going to rename it altogether. So, Haunted Tales from Bachelor's Grove. Todd's going to be a contributing writer on that. Go get that funded. Again, both of these Kickstarters, there'll be links for on the nerduppodcast.com website. Get these guys taken care of. More comics in your world is the better. You know, that's what makes life better is comic books. Eric, you need to get well and get better and walk around and be less dependent on, well, you know what? I'm going to get you a wheelchair with an X for wheels things, you know, like Xavier. Yeah. Let you walk.
That would be awesome.
That would let you run around on that. So, Eric, any closing remarks, any final things you got to want to point out or talk about?
No, not this. I've been catching up on a lot of movies, but not a whole lot of sci-fi, fantasy, or genre movies. More just classic, the Spy Who Came In From the Cold. Never saw it. Just saw it a few weeks ago and was blown away.
Wow,
it's not really nerdy stuff. So,
it is. That's one thing I've been watching your since your accident. Actually, since you got released from the hospital. Actually, before that, you were doing lots of TV shows. But I love watching your Facebook feed because it's like watching this. And I was like, keep saying, man, he's watching a lot of stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, he can't go anywhere.
Exactly. I'm like trapped in the house day in, day out. So all I can do is watch movies, and I can't even play games anymore. I can't go downstairs and sit in a chair for more than like 20 or 30 minutes. So it's pretty much just sitting in front of the TV watching movies.
Hey, nice work if you can get it. So,
I'm enjoying it while it lasts.
Yeah, true. Because it's going to come back and say, hey, remember work? Remember life?
Yeah.
Get back into it. So, all right. Well, yeah. Let's see here. Once again, support the podcast. And again, thanks to the Eagle Theater in Robinson. There's three different Eagle Theaters you can experience in the state of Illinois. Robinson, Illinois, Clinton, Illinois, and Streeter, Illinois. All three owned by the same person that know how to bring the comfort of theater and how to bring that the friendliness. You go in there and the people there are always friendly. Free refills on soda, free refills on popcorn. It's an experience, and the free refills of pop or soda, don't fall for it during Logan because it's a long movie. So just saying, just warning you. But again, thanks to the Eagle Theater for giving us that that option to be able to enjoy a movie in comfort and in style. Let's see here. Again, if you want to support the podcast in many different ways, there are just a whole bunch of stuff you can just click on the nerduppodcast.com site. My favorite thing, go out and buy a t-shirt with the Nerdup Podcast on it. Have us displayed across your chest, better than a big red S. And I'm telling you, these guys look cool on your body. Not us, the podcasters, just the pictures of us look good on your body. So I got to clarify that too, I guess. That's one of the coolest things. And we don't really hardly make any money off the t-shirts, but I would rather people wore those and look cool than make money. Todd Black, once again, if people need to get a hold of you and find out more about your comics, what's a good way to get in contact and what's a good way to find your stuff online?
You can find most of my comics at guardians-comic.com. We have both Guardians and Home there. Then you can find me on Facebook type in Guardians. You'll find the comic page or a Home miniseries. Just look for our main page and you can contact me through there.
All right. Sounds good. And of course, Amazon, you can get his Sherlock Holmes book. And the best thing, though, go out and fund the Kickstarter or the Haunted Tales. Again, I'll be providing links. Thanks for joining us again, Todd. You're always more than welcome to join us. And I'm sure I'm going to see you out on the con circuit this year. And I'll be interviewing you again, finding out what's next. So thanks again, Todd, for joining us.
My pleasure, Gil.
And that does it for the podcast. If you need to get a hold of me, I'm Gil T. Wilson. You can contact me via Twitter at Gil Wilson.
I'm Eric Billingsley at Eric Bill.
And like we like to say at the end of each and every episode, stay nerdy.
Stay nerdy.
Stay nerdy!